Good evening. Welcome, everyone, to the March 5th regular session of the Planning and Zoning Commission. I'd like to call this meeting to order at 6 p.m. Ms. Ancona, if I could please have the roll call.
Commissioner Keller?
Present.
Commissioner Nichols?
Here.
Commissioner Thomas?
Here.
Commissioner Wilson?
Present.
Commissioner Zielinski? Vice Chair Outlaw Ryan?
Present.
And Chair Clark.
Present. And if y'all could please rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Right. Thank you again for joining us this evening. Just a few housekeeping items. The restrooms and drinking fountain are located out just to the right of the door of the outside chambers there. There are no public hearings on tonight's agenda. However, there is a public meeting on agenda item number 2, and I welcome participation if you choose to do so. If you wish to speak during the call to audience or agenda item number 2, please fill out a blue card. They're located in the back there on the table. And then bring them up to our recording secretary, Ms. Ancona, and she'll give those blue cards to me. As a reminder, speakers are limited to 3 minutes. All right. Moving on, we're going to go ahead and open the call to audience. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual commission members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda item or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the commission may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during call to audience. In order to speak during call to audience, please specify what you wish to discuss when completing your blue speaker card. All right. I have 2 speaker cards here. Are there any others that have come to you, Ms. Ancona?
No.
All right, thank you. All right, go ahead and start with Mr. Tim Tarse. If you could please come to the podium and let us know if you are a resident of Boro Valley.
Madam Chairman, members of the commission and town staff, my name is Tim Tarse, and I am an Oro Valley resident. Over 4 years ago, the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene began an effort to grow its presence in our neighborhood. When it came before this commission, it was rejected as incompatible for the neighborhood. We are grateful for that decision. Since then, they have been preparing a new concept not yet formally submitted to the town that expands their presence with a new 1,500-foot seating sanctuary. Many of the same issues, such as traffic, lighting, noise, etc., remain the same. As longtime residents and neighbors, we hope that your good judgment will prevail again and deny their concept. It is not logical to diminish the neighborhood quality of life for this project. Case in point, 14 of the adjoining property members, owners have opposed the church's intent in writing. Recently, myself and another pilot set out to circumnavigate the globe in honor of the Army Air Service aviators who did it in 1924. Unfortunately, we ran afoul of South American bureaucracy, which forced us to abort our mission and return home. One of the items we carry on board is the flag of Oro Valley. It is to be bestowed upon the town when we return successfully from a new trip already in the planning. This will be our tribute to the community that we all enjoy and respect. Tens of thousands of dollars and hundreds of man hours have been exerted by the Concordia Buena Vista Group to abate the church initiative. Many have had to reduce their financial giving to institutions and other charities of their choice as a result. We are not running for any office or any appointment. This unwanted situation has been thrust upon us, and we, the neighbors, will bear the effects. As a retired Air Force officer, I try to abide by the Air Force Academy Honor Code. We will not lie, steal, or cheat, nor tolerate among us anyone who does. I feel these words are to live by for individuals and institutions both. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Terrace. And up next, we have Anthony Ferrara. If you could state your name and if you're an Oro Valley resident.
Yeah, my name is Anthony Ferrara, and I am a resident of Oro Valley. Madam Chairwoman, Vice Chair, Commissioners. Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene is outrageously proposing to pave over 10 acres of desert with an impervious service. 10 acres of land zoned for single-family residential, rural, and agricultural use that is supposed to promote open space for parking. There's not that much residential property zoned for rural and agricultural equestrian use left in Oro Valley, and it should not be sacrificed for a parking lot. I'm no expert, but I think this may be allowed by the zoning code. It may not be. I'm not sure. I'm not an expert. But if it is allowed, it's only because no one has ever been bold enough to ask to do it. Similarly, right now, on my lot, zoned R144, the same lot that they purchased, I could, according to the letter of the law, house an unlimited number of chickens. Unlimited. And the only thing stopping me that would stop me from housing 2 million chickens, and apparently the only thing stopping me from paving over my entire yard with asphalt, is that it is a terrible idea. And no sensible person would subject their neighbors to the smell and noise that accompanied my chickens. And no one has ever thought or been been bold enough to propose sacrificing desert intended for residential use for parking. On November 1st, 2023, the town council explored setting reasonable limits for housing small animals on residential lots. For example, changing an unlimited number of chickens that I could house to 25. So I respectfully ask that the town look into setting limits on the amount of desert that can be converted to residential land into paved parking, just as it looked into setting reasonable limits on housing small animals on residential lots. Limits that are based on our values as a town that prioritize natural beauty, views, open spaces, the environment, agriculture, and appropriate land use. Is that something you could request the town staff to look into for me?
We can do that.
Thank you.
Okay, and we have any other blue cards, Ms. Ancona? No? All right, we're gonna go ahead and close our call to audience. All right, and if I could have, and we're gonna go ahead and turn the time over to Vice Mayor Barrett for liaison comments, thank you.
Yes, hi. I don't really have a whole lot on my liaison comments. On the 20th, we have the 132-unit property that you looked at on your last meeting. And we just recently had our update on the implementation of our 10-year plan, the OV Path Forward. And so for anyone listening or for those present, I encourage you to fill out our survey. Go online, register for that, and get involved in that plan as well. And we have, tomorrow night, we have a conversation about parking facilities and vehicle storage facilities that you all participated in as well. And we have a conversation about the Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve as well as water rates. So that's what we have on tap for tomorrow night. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vice Mayor Barrett. All right, we'll move into our regular session agenda items. Ms. Ancona, if I could have item number one, please.
Review and approval of the February 6, 2024 regular session meeting minutes.
Thank you. Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the February 6, 2024 meeting minutes.
I'll second that motion.
Any discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right, seeing none, vote passes 7-0. Ms. Ancona, if I could have the next agenda item, please.
Discussion and possible action regarding architecture for the Hampton Inn and Suites Hotel, located within the Oro Valley Marketplace and near the northwest corner of Oracle Road and Water Harvest Drive.
Thank you very much. And we'll turn the time over to Ms. Chavez. Thank you.
Thank you. Alrighty. Good evening. My name is Alex Chavez. I'm a planner with the town of Oro Valley and presenting tonight's item on the architecture for the proposed Hampton Inn and Suites in the Oro Valley Marketplace. So this evening, tonight's presentation is focused on the exterior design of the site. The site design has been previously approved. Architecture in the Oro Valley Marketplace is has been established by the Master Architecture Plan Concept Plan, which outlines standards for design, color palette, and materials for all buildings in place now. The master architecture concept plan, however, does not cover new building types such as hotels, and so it requires consideration by the Planning and Zoning Commission and ultimately approval by Town Council. Staff has reviewed the applicant's design for conformance with the master architecture principles and design standards, as well as the town's design and principal standards. So I'd like to provide some context as to the location for this site. Here we have the subject property outlined in orange, which is located on the south end of the Oro Valley Marketplace near the intersection of Water Harvest Drive and Oracle Road. The site is currently vacant, a vacant pad with existing parking, and it is adjacent to the Red Lobster and former Chase Bank. So on the screen, we have the site plan for the project. The building's main entrance is oriented towards Oracle Road and the existing buildings. It's a four-story hotel and will feature 105 rooms with a pool and portico chair main entrance. Again, the site design, building height, and circulation for the hotel has been previously approved by Town Council in November of 23, and development plans are currently under review. On the right, we have examples of the existing architecture in the commercial center, as well as approved design concepts, color palettes, and materials. The applicant's design was reviewed for compatibility with the approved styles and elements found in the Oro Valley Marketplace, as well as conformance with the design standards and principles established by that master architecture plan, as well as town code. On the screen, we have elevations of the building's main entrance with photos of adjacent properties. The applicant's proposal reflects the same architecture design elements that's found throughout the center. And we found that it's in conformance with the key elements that we have highlighted here. So item A is the enhanced facade with use of stone veneer and color variation to add character and visual interest. We also have item B, the articulated roof line with stepped and recessed walls. We also see use of compatible design elements as such as that horizontal band that's accentuated by awnings and color variations in materials. And we also see that the design also has, the proposed design also uses this tilted flag shape element. The applicant is here this evening and will present their proposal in more detail. Again, the proposed design was also reviewed for conformance with the town design standards and principle. So we looked at the building's design and style as it has a focus on a pedestrian scale, which has the articulation on that first level, use of landscaping and awnings, and articulated entrances. The design treatment also would need to apply to all sides of the buildings. So it creates, again, visual interest, and this is through variation in the building massings, the roof planes, the wall planes, and surface articulation. Another element for town code is screening of mechanical equipment, including rooftop equipment. What's important to note here is that the site does sit at a lower elevation from Oracle Road and Tangerine Road, so the screening not only is four-sided, it also must include that fifth plane here on top as well. So in summary, staff finds that the proposal Is it the same style and design, materials, and colors that are already is it used in the existing master architecture plan? And it meets the town's design principles and standards. And so we recommend approval. All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Ms. Chavez.
Thank you, Alex.
Well, thank you, Alex. That was a really comprehensive presentation. My name is Linda Morales. I'm with the Planning Center and planner on the project. And with me, I have Tyler Warfield and Mike Sensky from HSL, who are the developers, and David Little, who is our civil engineer. So we are all here to answer any questions you might have. I just wanted to start by saying, you know, we're thrilled to bring the Hampton brand to the Oro Valley Marketplace. It's considered an upper mid-scale hotel that really serves the business traveler and leisure travelers as well, that like that a little bit of an upgraded a hotel standard. But, you know, in the hotel industry, most of these hotels come with like their standard footprint, their standard architecture, their standard colors that they like to use. And so what our architect, Tatiana from Eglin Bressler, Tatiana Bressler did, and her team, is they worked very closely with the Hampton folks to make sure that the design that they're presenting today fits in with our desert environment, fits in with the Oro Valley Marketplace, meets those design standards, and meets the town's quality standards and design. So that's what you see today, and we're very excited to present this. This is just a blow-up of that little site plan that Alex had presented that shows how this fits and lays out on the site. I realize I have the wrong name on the street. I apologize. It's Water Harvesting Place, and depends on what map you look at. but this north is facing to the left of the page. And then you see the Red Lobster and the former Chase Bank building are the two pads, the closest. And I have some examples further into the presentation that shows how the hotel coordinates and matches up with those. Here are a couple of views of that. The east elevation is the one it's facing toward, obviously toward Oracle Road. And then the entry where you see the portico share that comes out. And then you also below have the north elevation. And the north elevation is what really shows you best the those flag-shaped architectural elements that we have that reflect some of the other buildings nearby in the marketplace, the theater and the Best Buy and such. And so those are really accented with that darker color, so they kind of pop out. But you see all the different planes of the building. It's got different colors, and it's got the stone veneer on the bottom, the vistoso stone, that really breaks up that mass. So it doesn't look like one big flat building like you see a lot of the standard buildings do. And I think it does a really good job of making it look less monotonous. So then you have the west elevation and as well as the south, and again, similar. And you can see how it does have that shaded portico share that comes out in that south elevation as well as the north one that you saw previously. And again, this is the rendering of the site, just different elevation of that shows you how that goes and then how the signage has been integrated into the building. And this is a closer view in the evening of the portico share. And there you can see closer the vistoso veneer, the stone with those massive columns in that flag kind of shape that, again, reflects that design element that's so important in the marketplace and provides that shaded entry and that sense of arrival as you come in to the building. Again, the color palette was chosen from the pre-approved architectural guidelines that have been set for the marketplace using the weathered brown, the s'mores, the frontier land, and the dry creek. So it gives you kind of that spectrum from dark to light. And so that's the color palette, again, straight from that design standard. And then this top part gives you just an overview of what the site looks like. It's graded right now, just a pad space, so very vacant and ready to be developed. And you can see the Chase and the Red Lobster are, the two pad spaces that are the closest, again, showing the stone veneer, showing the tan and the tile type of roof that is typical of the marketplace. And then there's some other examples. Again, the Ashley, you can particularly see that angled flag-shaped type of an architectural element. And with that, I am happy to answer any questions you might have. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Ms. Morales.
Thank you.
Do we have any questions, commissioners?
I have a question.
Sure. All right. Commissioner Zielinski, please.
These are fairly non-invasive questions. I'm sometimes spatially challenged.
Mm-hmm.
The front portico by where the front desk is, I imagine, is that facing Water Harvest Way?
That's actually facing the toward Oracle. It's on the east elevation. Yeah.
It's facing east.
East, yeah. So you'll come around in the driveway and...
Okay.
Yeah.
That wasn't clear, but that's fine.
Sorry.
I should have
clarified that. Yeah.
And
it's a little backwards from what you might think that you'd want it for facing
normally
the
you would
street,
want it the other
but they have the parking, so that's kind of toward the center of the site.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And they probably don't have much to say about it since everything's been approved except for the architecture, which we're talking about now. Have any of the neighbors, like Red Lobster, had any objections to, like, sight lines or something? One of the views, I thought that Red Lobster was pretty much not viewable from Water Harvest Way, but I can see here that it probably is. And they'll probably be happy for the increased traffic, so...
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Exactly.
That was just
sure
a question.
Yeah, so it's definitely bringing more people to the market, walkable for them. And you can see from the site plan, the hotel's kind of situated between the two buildings. So you do have, and with the curve of Water Harvesting Way,
I think that first exploded view made me consider it. Like I said, I'm spatially challenged. Okay. guess I shouldn't be on the architectural team. okay. That was it. Thank you.
Thanks, Commissioner Zielinski.
Thank you.
Chair Clark, I have a question or two, please.
Please go ahead, Ms. Commissioner Keller.
Thank you very much for your time tonight.
I'll get your names right one of these days.
I answer just about everything. quick question for you, and this is an opportunity space, really. As I look at this, the east side facing towards Oracle Road, I like that elevation, and that mm-hmm. looks nice. What I'm wondering is if there's an opportunity space on that west side that faces Water Harvest there and will be visible to everybody coming in, is there a way to add some kind of a physical architectural element, similar maybe or replicating what's on the front, to add a little more variety to that back, since that's what most people are going to see as they drive by?
Chair Clark, Commissioner Thomas, are you referencing perhaps the
Kind of like on the east-facing front elevation, you see like the tilted flags, and there, I guess that would be the south and the north elevations. Something a little more, and please don't just take this the wrong way, it looks a little boxy from the west side, from the back side.
And perhaps it's not showing as well as it could, but there are quite a few different planes. I think the only thing that's absent is at the front, which, you know, is kind of an indicator, like this is the front of the building, are those flag-shaped features. As not the architect myself, I'm not sure how difficult that would be to incorporate that. Perhaps we could, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I guess what I can see is there's different depths a little bit, and there's some variation, a little bit of variation on roof lines and color tones. But it, to my eye, and I'm not an architect by any means or a designer, but it does look still a little boxy, frankly, from the drive.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think part of the reason why we do feature those wing walls and those flag-shaped features is really to indicate that this is really the front door, where the other is the back door. That's really, as far as the it being the backside, it still has a considerable amount of architectural features. It's still got that stone veneer. It's still got the variety of color. I think that's the only thing that's missing is that architectural... that one architectural element that really, again, was to indicate, like, okay, you've arrived at the front. So.
Okay, and I do realize this.
The short answer is, I'm not sure how difficult that would be to incorporate that.
Yeah, I do understand. It's kind of a 2D representation, so it's a little harder to visualize on that. But
well, and if you do look at the south elevation, you can see that it is very stacked, where you have the different planes that do come out, and even the stone veneer kind of pops out a little bit as well. So it won't look like the back door at the back side of a building. It will definitely have that 3D appearance.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's the last of my questions.
Okay.
Do you have any other questions, commissioners? Yes, please. Commissioner Nichols.
Thank you, Chair. How much parking is there? Could you remind me?
I have to look it up. Chair Clark, Commissioner Nichols. David, do you have the development plan in front of you with the number of parking spaces? 111.
Okay, that sounds like it's enough, at least one for every person in the one
right.
For every room. Is there
an employee parking?
Is that a standard for that? I just don't know.
Yeah, so the town has parking standards for every use. So it's and the town is, you know, you need to be right on those standards. So Alex, we're right on the parking requirements, right? Yeah.
Thank you, Ms. Morales.
And if I may, if it's helpful, to receive a permit, they have to show that all of those standards have been met and achieved. And
right.
Again, the development plan has already been approved by council that showed, you know, conceptually where all those spaces would be. But now we're at the phase of, you know, more fine-tooth engineering documents where we're counting every space, we're counting the slope in the parking spaces and making sure that there's ADA accessibility in all of the sidewalks. We're really taking, at this juncture, that deep dive. And they have to establish all of those things in order to receive a permit. So.
Good. All right. Commissioner Wilson, please.
So my comment is more of an aesthetic one.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the paint colors were chosen within the palette available. However, driving through the marketplace, you see that other colors within that palette are used as well, green and blue. And I'm wondering, to me, this building looks very harsh and uninviting. Mm. And I'm wondering if you would reconsider the color choices, at least one of the, for instance, change s'mores to be a green color or something like that to make it more inviting.
Chair Clark, Commissioner Wilson, I'm sure you'll understand that this did go through quite a rigorous review also with the developer and with the property owner. And typically what you see, and I've actually gone through myself and looked at a considerable amount of examples of different Hampton Inns across the country, and they do tend to have a more muted palette as far as not having those brighter colors and such. So I think that's what directed sort of this color palette. And we would obviously have to go back to them to add any additional colors or do anything different at this point. It's not a decision I can make from the dais here.
Well, we hope that you'll take our comments under consideration.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other comments? Questions from the commissioners? I just have one question. Is there any entrance there on the back where people will have access right from the road?
Chair Clark, typically they do have some doorways, and I think you can see that. Can I point on this, Alex? Just like, oh, I did not mean to do that, but right in here. Okay. Sorry.
It's hard to distinguish doors from windows.
It is. They're from the doors and windows. Typically what they do is, as you know from staying at various hotels, that they have some emergency access points.
Well, I'm just curious of a safety standpoint.
Well,
you know, emergency would be great.
If right.
Publicly accessible, not so much. So
that's
why I'm asking.
That's where I was going with it. Sometimes they will be open with only a key card access. So I would presume that they would direct everybody in the public and the people coming and going generally from that front door, and then have that if you wanted to get out to the parking lot quick, you'd have to have that key code or that key pass or your room key to get in and out.
Room key, yeah. Very good. Okay. That was really the only question that I had. All right. Any other questions? No? Okay. Do we have a motion?
All right. Thank you.
Chair, I'd like to set forth a motion.
Please.
I move to recommend approval of the proposed architecture for Hampton Inn & Suites based on a finding it is in conformance with the Oro Valley Marketplace Master Architectural Concept Plan and the design principles and standards of the Oro Valley Zoning Code.
Second.
Thank you very much. Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye. Nay.
All right. Motion carries 6-1. All right. Thank you very much. Ms. Ancona, can I have the next agenda item, please?
Discussion and possible action to initiate a possible zoning code amendment regarding the code enforcement process in sections 22.9, 30, and other related sections.
Thank you very much. Mr. Avila, the time is all yours.
Chair Clark, members of the commission. So initiation is a pretty unique process. The ask, if you will, is to initiate a new project. What's before you tonight is not a request for certain language in the code or reviewing concepts. It's really an ask to initiate a project to start looking into a really important function in terms of what our code lays out for zoning enforcement. This section of code, as far as I know, in my work for the town since 1999, has never been revised. So I think it's not too much of a stretch to say it's high time to take a look-see. Code enforcement is, I don't know if this is a perfect analogy, but it's really, you know, if a restaurant is, front house activity is you walk in the door and what you see is the tables and the waiters and waitresses and all that activity. This is our version of front house activity, what we're doing tonight. You know, we're presenting developments, reviewing developments, making sure they're code compliant and whatnot. The back house in the restaurant, of course, is where all the work gets done in terms of preparing meals and whatnot. For us, the back house is enforcing the code. So, you know, when you know, the hotel gets built in the Oro Valley Marketplace, we have staff that go out and review every wall plane and every color that you just looked at in these pictures to make sure what's on the building lines up with what just got approved, okay? That team, we have a code compliance specialist who spends most of his time in the field responding to complaints from residents, you know, whether it's a, you know, an alleged zoning violation by one of their neighbors or they noticed something within a shopping center that just doesn't look right. There are potholes in the shopping center. You know, we have specialized staff that address that, and that's what they do full time. And there is a process when we do find a zoning violation to address them, and the goal is to achieve compliance. Okay, and so that's what I'm talking about in terms of working to improve the code. To you know, to improve the efficiency and effectiveness of code enforcement. So I hope that kind of gives you a snapshot of what we want to open and take a look-see. And the idea is if this is initiated, the next step is staff would be doing a lot of research, looking at other jurisdictions, best practices, interviewing other jurisdictions to learn, you know, what works, what doesn't work, in terms of, and what has worked and hasn't worked in Oro Valley, and then begin the process of drafting code. Once we have a rough draft, the idea would be to come before the commission at a study session, as well as town council at a study session, and say, hey, look, here are some of our findings. We're looking for a little direction. You know, what do you think? And then taking that information, that all those learnings, and go back and put together a final draft to bring back to commission and council public hearings for review and ultimately adoption and then implementation. So that's a bit of an overview. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Vella. Do we have any comments? Commissioner Nichols.
Thank you, Chair Clark. Mr. Vella, certainly something must have prompted you to make this. I mean, not just the time, right? Have you found that there's some inefficiencies in the way the code is right now that cause some problems for your team?
Yes, actually, by and large, code enforcement runs fairly smoothly in Oro Valley because we achieve roughly 75 to 85% of the time voluntary compliance working with residents. We identify a violation. We take an approach of, hey, did you know? Can you work with us? We'll give you ample time. And more often than not, the response is, I didn't realize, you know, by the person, the property owner, I was, you know, there's an issue here, and I'd be glad to fix it. That's the usual scenario, and it gets fixed. Now and again, there's a large issue, and we may come up with a property owner, whether it's residential or commercial, who digs in and doesn't respond, or may live out of state. And that involves an entire, letter writing, providing due process for corrections, and ultimately can land into municipal court, and action, and fines, and directions from a judge. So we have recently had a few of those cases. They're rare. But we just actually finished one with Mr. Andrew's help. There you go. It's very time-consuming, extremely time-consuming, and we're looking for ways, and we're aware of other jurisdictions that have processes that accelerate that when it's warranted.
Good. Okay.
I'll add just two bits here, because when it gets to me, it doesn't speed up all that much because we have another layer of due process built into our codes, and we're just trying to deal with what I think Byer and I would both call the bad actors or the worse actors or even just the don't respond actors, to kind of get them moving a little more quickly towards compliance before we actually have to stand in front of a judge and then I have to grill Byer on what the violation is and then have the judge tell them they have to fix it. If we could get to that point a little sooner, we may be able to circumvent some of these ones that take longer than they very well should.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Wilson.
Thank you. That was my question as well.
Perfect. All right. Thank you. Do we have any other questions? Yes, Mr. Commissioner Zielinski.
Thank you. I'm not sure I have any objection to this particular motion or direction that you're going. And the way I understand it, the final proposal and wording is going to come before the commission. Okay. I have a question that you're probably going to say that's not what this is about, but this is a venue for me to ask a question about where I go with this. Over the last few months, there's been some rulings on different zoning things where I thought the language of the zoning itself was very vaguely written. Things like, what is open space? And it, like in that case, it said you can put a parking lot here, you can put a this there, you can put a that there. But it never said the percentage of that particular parcel that could be any one of those things.
Mr. Chair, Member Zielinski, you're absolutely right. This is not what we're supposed to be talking about on this item.
Where do I go to get that?
You would have to have a nice discussion with Mr. Vella probably outside of this meeting because this discussion is not agendized.
That's fine. We will do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Zielinski. Any other questions? Okay, I don't have any questions either. So do we have a motion?
I move to initiate a zoning code amendment regarding code enforcement to enable staff to commence research, analysis, and development of recommendations for future consideration by this commission.
I second.
All right, 2 seconds. Very good. Do we have any discussion? All right, hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, hearing none, motion carries 7-0. All right, next item on the agenda, we have a planning update. Back to you, Mr. Vella.
All right. Thank you, Chair. Just a short one this evening. So our next meeting is April 2nd, thankfully at least a day after April Fool's Day. And so there is a public hearing that we're anticipating for extra space storage along Oracle Road. That's the site just adjacent to the Circle K, Oracle Linda Vista, where extra space storage wishes to expand. And that involves a general plan amendment as well as rezoning. A second agenda item that we may, and I want to underscore the word may, we may be ready on the small farm animal code. So we're still working towards that. Meanwhile, while we're working toward it, we're also keeping an eye on the state legislature, who may be adopting preemptive language allowing certain small animals in all jurisdictions in the state. So we're also keeping an eye on that at the same time. So that's it for our report.
All right. Thank you very much. And with that, do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
I second.
All right. Thank you very much. We are adjourned at 6:41 p.m. Thank you very much for being here, and we will see you on April 2nd.